You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
How are you tonight? You good? The power of God's going to come tonight. Are you ready? You need to turn to your neighbor and say, strap yourself in. God wants to touch you. Turn to the other neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Well, your pastor just leant over to me before and said, Jen, do whatever's on your heart. So I said, well, you're letting the tiger out of the pen. I love to minister, so we're going to respond to God at the end of tonight, okay? And we're going to run to God. We don't wait till Brenda from the back comes down. We run to God, don't we? Guys, I'm going to need you up, so I'll tell you when to come back. Is that good? They're amazing. You're a great bass player, by the way. No, you're fabulous. He's like just grooving on down there. That shows my age saying grooving on down, doesn't it? So, before I start, the anointing on my life, I have an anointing of breakthrough. I'm a deliverer. And in any meeting I preach on, brokenness in people's lives will be touched by the power of God. But God spoke to me about two things before I begin tonight. And the first thing he said, Jen, I'm going to break generational pain over some people's lives tonight. There are people in this place that have lived of generational things that have been passed down, and God's going to stop it at you tonight. There's going to be a breakthrough in your world tonight in Jesus' name. Is anybody with me tonight? And I really feel that God tonight, by his Holy Spirit, is going to also heal some bodies in this place tonight. Anybody with me? I'm taking one step. You know, I feel so responsible tonight. You know when you can feel the power of God upon you? My heart is racing. And when it's like that, I just know, talk short, minister long. So I'm going to share a little bit of what I did in England because I need to start. I'm going to share you my story tonight, and I am not what you think I am. I'm actually a miracle that I stand on this platform tonight, an absolute and total miracle. I know the other thing God said to me. He said, there are people here tonight with major social anxiety. And God, the Holy Spirit, wants to come and heal you and make your stammering tongue fluent in Jesus' name. Some people that have been really bound by fear and anxiety, God's going to do something powerful. So as was suggested, we'll go back to before we left the UK, and God was really, really kind to me. I started a charity probably about 20 years ago. That's how old I am. We first began this little charity, and it was one house for one girl to look after girls that were coming off heroin addiction, life-controlling issues like anorexia, etc. And then a couple of years in, the South Yorkshire Police approached me, not because I had been speeding, that would be more likely to be Dave than me, but because they came to me and said, would you begin a house, some young women that were beginning to identify as trafficked for sex slavery. And so we began to take these young women in, and the charity grew. We ended up subcontracted to the British government. Ended up with 14 homes, rescued over 3,500 survivors of modern-day slavery, had 180 staff. It was just the most amazing thing. But I had to share that to take you back to the beginning so you understand when you've been through pain in your life, what God can do with the very thing that you have experienced, the very thing that you have been through, God can come and minister in. And there's this amazing guy in the Bible called Joseph. We know his story. He'd gone through hell. He'd gone through abandonment and betrayal and rejection. And he came to a place in his life, and there's amazing scripture in Genesis 41. It says, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And that's my prayer for you tonight, that God will bring fruit out of the thing you've been through. So I'm going to go back to the very start tonight because it's a great place to start. I was born. But I was born in a home for unwanted babies. I was given away at birth at a house in the back streets of Brisbane, Australia. And only recently did I go and find the place where I was born. I was unwanted and unloved, and I know now that I was never ever held in my mother's arms. And thus it brought about a huge detachment issue in my life. And my mum that brought me up said to me that she can never remember once me ever having another child home to play when I was a little girl. I had this incredible sense of rejection. And for about 3 weeks, I was just in this single mother's home, completely unwanted and unloved. And 3 weeks in, a beautiful couple called Enid and John Stewart, who are both now in heaven cheering, they walked into this single mother's home in Brisbane to adopt me. And they'd been there 2 years before and adopted my big brother, Robert. And Robert was fair skin and blue-eyed and blonde-haired. And they walked in 2 years later to adopt me, and I was there with dark eyes and olive skin and brown hair. This is fake. And they actually turned around and walked out of the hospital because they didn't match my brother. And Mum said something arrested them at the door of that hospital, and they actually turned around and walked back in. And thus I became Jenny. Are you ready for my second name, church? You'll love your second name from this point on. Jenny Enid. Became Jenny Enid Stewart. And I was adopted into a beautiful home with parents that just loved Jesus with all their heart. But there was something inside this little girl, and there's some people here tonight that would feel the same. There was such rejection and pain and insecurity and inferiority inside my little spirit. And that I battled incredibly with it. I was always the girl in the room that thought people the other side were talking about me in a bad way. And I remember a time when I was about 11 and having worked now with so many young women, when you have a deep, deep issue and a schism in your spirit, you flick off one of two ways. You can either go into addiction, alcohol, heroin, all those addictions. And that's why we must never judge anybody in that area of their lives, because they're there because of a reason. But I went the other way, and I remember the time there was such a pain and hunger for acceptance and wanting to be worthy in the world. And I remember the time when I was about 11 that I decided I was going to be good at everything as my way of proving myself. And fortunately, I could run very fast. And so I ended up becoming like the prefect, the house captain, the hockey captain, the athletics captain. And I laugh now because I've got two artificial hips from all that running. So don't run, eat cake. So I finished my grade 12 in Brisbane, and 2 weeks after I finished grade 12, my beautiful dad that had brought me up just suddenly passed away, and at 16 years old, I no longer had a father. And I was a very broken young woman. I deferred uni because I was so broken, and I'd come home every night from work and not a friend in the world. And it looked successful to everybody else, because we can look one thing and our hearts can be feeling another. And I'd come home every night, 16, 17, and decided that if the love of God was real, I was going to find it. And so for a year in my bedroom, I'd come home every night and I would cry out to God. And it began to be like the Holy Spirit was waiting for me at the end of my bed. I got to know God so powerfully at 17. Long story, I went to Bible college the next year and told God I was not interested in young men until I was finished college. And so the day I finished, I met Dave that night. And it's been a circus ever since. And so, long story, we end up on the other side of the world, which is a whole other story. Church planning. We left, I was 25 years old, 5 months pregnant. We left with $100 a month support and knew nobody at all in England. And I don't look like I've got malnutrition, do I? So God was faithful. But I remember ministering and thinking to myself when my beautiful son was born, I owe it to the next generation to deal with the rejections in my spirit. And, you know, I could minister and do all this stuff, but I was just so broken inside. And one thing I have learned that is if you keep loving people even when you're in pain, the Holy Spirit will sneak up behind you, heal your heart. But I remember thinking to myself, do you know what? Perhaps if I found my real family, perhaps who I found who my mum was and my father was, I would have longed to have a dad. Perhaps if I found them, I could solve all the huge issues in my spirit. And so they just changed the law in Queensland, and we're living in England, the other side of the world. And I write off, and they said you could get your original birth certificate. So it came back, and I discovered my birth name was Kim Salter, Kim Ann Salter. Just call me Kim, not Jenny from the block anymore, Kim. I discovered that my birth mum was 5'1". And that on the birth certificate was an address of her address when I was born. It was a cattle station way out in the outback, and I wrote to this cattle station. And of course, they are handed down through the family. And 3 months later, I got a letter back. I remember David dancing around the lounge with it, not letting me have it because he knew what it was. And it was actually a letter from my birth mum, Heather. I discovered that I had 4 half-brothers and a half-sister. I'm just about to get stoned with the next comment. And one of my brothers played for the Wallabies at the time. But they All Blacks always beat them, so you're all good. And so we write back and forth across the world for 6 months, and eventually we fly home, and I got my beautiful 80s mullet perm in a French plait for the day, ready to meet my birth mum. Now, you've got to realize that every moment had drawn to this moment where the rejection and all the pain was going to be solved in this moment of meeting my birth mum. The fatherhood, the fatherlessness was going to be solved. So I go in a Queen Street mall in Brisbane, and I sit down opposite my birth mum and show her photos of me as a baby, and she's crying because she'd never held me. Never seen me, never held me. And she says, Jen, I suppose you would really like to know who your father is, because it wasn't on that birth certificate. And she looked across the table and she said these words: I was gang raped and you're the baby. I'd gone to that day thinking that I was going to find resolve for that huge rejection in my spirit. And in that moment, I felt more unwanted, unloved, and even dirty than I'd ever felt in my life. But God. And this is where I really want to take you tonight. And I began a journey of finding my Father in heaven. And God gave me my life verse, which is Jeremiah 1 verse 5. And in this verse it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I don't know how in God's economy that he knew me before I was born, and how that could possibly be true when I was come from such an awful place. But God said he knew me. And God said that destiny was written upon my life before I was even born. Destiny is written over every one of your lives tonight. And then God took me to this passage of scripture. You can hear a pin drop in here. It's not that bad, honestly. I'm fine. Let me read to you a passage of scripture that I realized was my story, but it's such a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. And I haven't given this to the guys back there. I just want to read this to you. It's Ezekiel 16. It says, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by, and I saw you. Some people need to know tonight that God sees you. says, I saw you kicking about in your blood, and as you lay there, I said to you, live, I made you grow. We'll skip the next bit. It's got like X-rated stuff in it. And I made you grow like the plant of the field. And says, later I passed by. And when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you a solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord. You became mine. You belong to him tonight. I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. And I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put fine sandals of leather on you. I dressed you in fine linen. They wear way too much linen on the Gold Coast. It looks awful. And covered you with costly garments. I adorned you with jewelry. It's in this scripture, husbands. I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck, because the splendor I have given you makes your beauty perfect. It's such a beautiful picture of Jesus. He sees you. He covers you. Now, I've lulled you into a false sense of security in our church because you think I'm a nice person, but I'm just about to come for you. I talked about Joseph at the beginning, that he said he came to a place in his life where he said that God, he forgot all his troubles and God made him fruitful in the land of his suffering. And I remember a moment just like tonight, and some of you are going to make this decision tonight. I remember a meeting just like this. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, Jen, are you going to be a victim? He said, Jen, your past can either be a container or a springboard. It's your choice. What are you going to allow me to do with your story? What are you going to allow me to release you out of? And who else stands on the other side of that decision? In a meeting just like this when I was 28, 29 years old. And God promised me three things. The first thing he promised me, he said, Jen, I'm going to give you divine forgetfulness, which as you get older, you can blame on Jesus. It's not that I will ever forget where I come from or ever forget my story, but God promises that he gives us power to forget the pain of it. When I tell people I'm the baby of a gang rape, there's a hush. I didn't care a rip, I'm here. God wants to give you great forgetfulness over your past. But what we love to do as Christians is we love to linger. I told you I was coming for you. You ready? Strap in. Isaiah says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. See, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Well, us Christians, we love to have a marshmallow toast around our pain. We love to drape our lives over inconsequence, sing kumbaya and have a scout's jamboree and hope the pastor's looking. But God wants to use your pain because there's people that need Jesus because of your story. And we can linger around a place of pain or allow God the Holy Spirit to come on it and use it for his glory. I'm racing. God promised me divine fruitfulness. I remember a moment, so all across England, once the survivors had come through our care under the government provision, and then we would house them in the community, and then the church would step in. And every week in multiple cities across the UK, survivors would come in a drop-in every week, and we'd do things with them and whatnot. And I remember one week, I walked into the foyer of our church in Sheffield. Now, we couldn't post on social media what we were doing, but we were hiding people. We were rescuing people. You know, back in the day when you used to do things for Jesus without posting it on social media? Just saying, generation. And I remember walking in to this foyer and there was 35 prams. Now, what would often happen is many of these survivors of sex slavery, when they got pregnant, their traffickers would keep them till they're 8.5 months pregnant, and then they would throw them out on the bus stations and train stations across Britain, and they'd be rescued. They'd be brought into our care, and then my staff would be birthing partners. And I remember walking into the foyer that day and it dawned on me that every one of those 35 prams represented a baby of a gang rape. And every one of those lives was me. And every one of those little lives had destiny written. God wants to bless your world, however painful and restrictive it has been. Your story was not meant to be dismissed. It's meant to be used. It's meant to be fruitful. And the time comes, like tonight, when the decision needs to be made. I'm going to be fruitful. You know, in John 12, verse 24, it says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Your pain tonight is not pain, it's a seed. And in a room like this, there are hundreds and hundreds of seeds that God wants to breathe upon and multiply. It's our choice. And the last thing God promised me, he said, Jen, I'm going to give you divine authority. I could preach a message on the tabernacle, never have, never will, but if I did, broken people will be touched because God's given me an authority over brokenness. What authority does God want to give your life? Because of a decision to step into seed zone. God has assigned me the anointing of a deliverer, both physically and spiritually. What anointing does God want to give your life? What breakthrough does God want to give you tonight and put an anointing and favor upon your story and upon your pain and turn it around for good in Jesus' name? Amen. I wonder if the band can come. Because this is the best bit. Dave says the best bit, Jen, is when you shut your computer. So I remember a time, and you're going to find out that I'm not perfect. And I know I'm the only person that ever does this. But I remember a time, and I was in a conference in Europe somewhere, not because that's flash, it's because that's where we lived. And I was feeling really rejected. Because I have a weakness, and I have got an AK-47 in my back pocket. You can't see it. It's full of scriptures about rejection. But I remember I was in this meeting and was feeling really rejected. And I cried out to God, and I said, God, why did I have to be born this way? Why do I have to spend the rest of my life dealing with this pain? And this is what the Holy Spirit whispered to me. He said, Jen, become what you were never given. He said, Jen, I want your shoulders to become so broad that people can stand on your shoulders and touch the heart of God. That's what God wants to do for you. But you know, this story has grown. So 4 years ago, I wanted to discover why I was so tall. And so I did a little thing called Ancestry.com. Discovered I was Swedish, Scandinavian sort of ilk and British. Because nobody in Australia actually comes from Australia unless you're First Nations. And I got a little bit more than I bargained for. Because I got matched with a brother from my father's side. So 4 years ago, I found out who the rapist was. And he's now passed, but I discovered I had six more brothers. You need a flow chart, people. So my mother's side, there are orthopedic surgeons and barristers and lawyers and the whatnot. And the other side, are barely out of jail. They're the fun lot. Just recently, one of them messaged me and he said he just gave his heart to the Lord in North Queensland. But I'm sharing this to show you how much God has his hand on your full story. So 10 years ago, I discovered I was preaching in Townsville telling my story. And I'm told now that two of my real brothers were actually in that meeting. They would have had no clue that I even existed at that point. But they heard their sister preach Jesus to them. And then I was talking to this lady who's big cheese in the church in Australia. And I mentioned my father's name. She pulls out her phone. "Is that your father?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I was brought up next door to him. And him and your whole family were witness to all their childhood." The beautiful thing about God is that he loves the victim and the perpetrator. In actual fact, just before we left England, I started up a whole new arm of my charity, because my dream was to be a charity that didn't just love the victim but loved the perpetrator. And the dream was to go into prison and administer to the people that we'd put away, because they deserve Jesus too.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.